This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Did you know the Lord had chosen you to be here since the beginning of time? He knew what we were going to be doing on July 8th, 2018. He knew what was going to happen, and he made a special point for you to be here, to be here, the music, to hear the singing, to hear the fellowship. We have a couple here. Did you notice when you pulled in the big motorhome out the back? We have a couple here from Kentucky today. We welcome you. Good having you here. Now, they were up in Maine, I believe, the other day, and they were going to go to Concord. They were going to go to Conway, and they typed in Concord into their GPS. And instead of being in Conway and going over to Kangamangas Highway, they're here worshiping with us. And it wasn't a mistake. It was the Lord's providential decision for you to be here with us. And we welcome you. Good having you here. I'm glad you've mistyped it. You ever wonder how people are chosen to do different tasks in the church? Like you have VBS coming up and different things, or to be a minister. I like hearing people's testimony, how the Lord set different things in place and got it set. Do you remember 2 weeks ago when John White preached and he mentioned two things that caught my attention about his background? First of all, he said he worked in an ice cream factory when he was in college. I worked in an ice cream factory when I was in college. Breyer's Ice Cream in Newark, New Jersey. Then he said he was influenced greatly by listening every week in the beginning of his ministry to Earl Lee's tapes. I listened to all Earl Lee's tapes. So if the Lord's having you work in an ice cream factory and having you listen to Earl Lee's tapes, you better watch out. He might be calling you into the ministry. The message this morning is entitled A Still Small Voice. The message this morning is entitled A Still Small Voice. There are two scripture verses. First Kings, we're going to be reading in a few minutes, and then from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. Do you ever watch TV and you ever notice when the TV commercials come on, they get much louder? They get your attention? Wonder why they have to do that. Those of you that have teenagers, you ever say, are you listening to me? What? What'd you say? Do you hear me? Ever have that happen? Actually, I think it's happening more and more to adults now. It's carry over into adulthood. How about when the minister shouts the whole sermon? You like that? Just shouts the whole time? You turn the switch off. So the sermon title this morning is A Still Small Voice. First scripture verse is from 1 Kings. Elijah is one of God's major prophets. He's having a tough time. He just defeated the 500 prophets of Baal in a contest to see which sacrifice the Lord would burn up. And then the queen Jezebel wants to kill him. And it's been 3 years of drought and it just ended and he's been to blame for it. The Lord wants to give him a word of encouragement. And we read in 1 Kings 19, 11, here's the word of encouragement the Lord gives him. He tells Elijah, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there. The Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn apart and torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. Some people believe this was a tornado. I've never been in a tornado. Has anybody ever been living where they have tornadoes? Doesn't seem like it's too nice of a thing to do. Well, that's what it might have been, but the Lord was not in the earth. It was not in the wind, in the tornado. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Has anyone ever been in an earthquake? We were living in Burlington, Vermont, a bunch of years ago. It was about 7 o'clock at night. And I felt the house. I thought a big semi-tractor trailer went by. But the next day, they said it was an earthquake. Megan 1 or 2 was not much of it. Didn't do any damage. But I've never been in an earthquake. I don't think I want to be in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. We've had a fire. It's a separate story I'll tell you sometime on Thanksgiving and a special way to cook a turkey. But that's a separate story. That's not with a still small voice. So the Lord was not in the fire except for our turkey. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. Or as it says in the King James, a still small voice. The Lord doesn't need to prove his presence through mighty displays of fireworks like he did on the 4th of July. We need to pay attention. You ever somewhere and somebody says, I have a secret, and they whisper in their ear. You ever notice how that, when you have a secret you want to tell somebody, you lean over real close to them and you whisper in their ear, you want everybody else to hear this. But the Lord doesn't need to work that way. In the New Testament, Jesus uses a different approach. In the Old Testament, there was an earthquake, there was a fire, there was a flood, there was a tornado. But in the New Testament, Jesus makes a different approach. Remember the woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus and she reached out and she touched the hem of his garment. And there was a big crowd around, a lot of noise, a lot of confusion. And Jesus said, who touched me? And somebody said, you got to be kidding me. All these people, you want to know who touched the hem of your garment? She said, yeah, who touched me? And that's the way Jesus works today with a still small voice. Remember Peter walking on the water? Jesus comes walking past. I heard a sermon one time where Jesus was going to walk past the boat. It wasn't going to stop. I'd like to see that happen. But there's Peter in the boat. And he said, Master, if it's you, have me come out. You know what I think Jesus did? Come on. Come on. That's all he had to do. And then there was another time Jesus was in the storm out in the boat. And he was asleep in the back of the boat. And the disciples were scared to death. And they shake him and wake him up. We're going to drown. We're going to drown. And calm the storm down. Here's what I think Jesus did. And then there was a time there was all these little children. I wonder if it's noisy. I wonder if it's noisy over in the preschool right now with all the kids. And Jesus says, just let them come and sit on my lap. Just let them come on and sit on my lap. Jesus quieted them down. Now you might say, well, that's Jesus, and he's the Son of God, and he's all-knowing and all-powerful and all-present everywhere. And then there's me. And I just sometimes have to shout every once in a while. The sermon is on the still small voice, in case you didn't listen to me the first few times. Because I'm different. I'm not Jesus. But Jesus gives us some instructions. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 are from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, the first word, he says, you. You know who you is? The Sermon on the Mount was written for all of you guys and me. So he starts off by saying in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. The one chorus we sang had the light of the world in it today. You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Instead, put it on the stand for let it shine for all to see. Do you know what my favorite church service is? Christmas Eve. You know what my favorite part of Christmas Eve service is? I liked it when I was a pastor and we turn off all the lights. You ever notice it gets dark when they turn off the lights? I have a question for you. Where does the light go? When you turn the lights on, where does the darkness go? I don't have an answer. I just have more questions. Does it go in a closet? Does it hide somewhere? So on Christmas Eve, I come up here and I take a candle. It worked at home, Joyce. I tried it. The darker it is, the better the light is. Are we living in a dark world? Your light can shine so easily. Now here's what I want you to do. Now remember, the Lord spoke in a still small voice and Jesus was a still small voice. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to this candle. Listen to what it says. Can you hear anything? All you have to do is shine for Jesus. You don't have to say anything. I remember I used to teach high school for 15 years. And I never preached a sermon in the high school. But teachers came up and asked me to pray for them. Because all you have to do is shine. You don't have to make any noise. And the darker the world, the darker the room is, the brighter the light. You are the light of the world. You know what we should sing? George is saying no. Let's take a vote. Should we sing it or not? Who says yes? Who says no? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it. Pretty good. We got new worship team members here. So the scripture verse says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Whether you realize it or not, everybody sees you. As a Christian in your light. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all to see. In the Old Testament, Elijah was spoken through by the Lord in a gentle whisper, as Jesus does in the New Testament. And we were on display the same as Jesus Christ personally through a glowing candle. If you want to take one thing home with you from this sermon this morning is, you hear with your heart. You hear with your heart. If your heart is hard and callous, you don't hear people's needs. But if your heart has been made tender by Jesus Christ, you can sense things. It is one thing to hear the Lord's gentle whisper, but what do you do with it? What happens to it? I've started something new in my Bible studies, my daily devotions. I just start in Genesis and read through Revelation and start over again. But do you ever read something in the Bible and say, wow, that's pretty good. And then a week later you say, boy, if I could find that again, I could use it. And you never can find it again. So what I started doing in my devotion was I now do my devotions with a pen in my hand and I underline. And I went back over the past few weeks and underlined three passages that stood out recently in a still small voice that the Lord spoke to me. And what's unusual is the three of them are from 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles. Now, Chronicles is a book of listing a lot of names. You wouldn't think there's a lot of worthwhile... I shouldn't say that. You wouldn't think there's a lot of things to highlight and underline. But the first one is from 1 Chronicles 28... Verse 20. Now remember, I'm looking for things to support me, to encourage me, to get me through the day. And David is speaking to his son Solomon. David's old, he's going to die soon, and he gives some instructions to his son. And see if these words encourage you. David speaking to Solomon. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid, don't be discouraged by the size of the task. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. Let me read that again. It's pretty good. That's a good verse to underline and look back to that every once in a while. Be strong and courageous. Do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged by the size of the task. Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. The next one is a more familiar one. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This one you've probably heard, but I underlined it also, even though it jumped out at me before. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. And heal their land. That's a familiar one, but I underlined that one because sometimes I have trouble finding it. And the third one is also from Chronicles chapter 2 Chronicles chapter 20. After consulting, listen, this is interesting. This is what we can apply to our church here. After consulting the leaders of the people, the king approached the singers. Oh, where are the singers? After consulting the leaders of the people, the king approached the singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. You know what that made me think of? You know what we sing at the beginning of the service? We're told to. I believe that releases the Lord's presence, because the instructions here, after consulting the leaders of the people, in other words, we should contact the church board. All board members that are here, do you agree with this verse? All board members, do you agree with the Bible? Good. Some board members don't agree with the Bible. After consulting the leaders or the board members of the Loudoun Church of the Nazarene, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor to get us ready to worship. The Lord speaks through still small voices. I believe he speaks through when you read his word each day. Romans 10:17, faith comes by from hearing, and hearing through the Son of God. You don't hear with your ears, you don't hear with your eyes, you hear with the contact of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6, another familiar verse. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. There's not an overt display by the Lord. Think about Genesis 1, the creation. The first day, what did he do? He said, let there be light. That's all he did, and it was light. The next day, he created the seas and the ocean and the stars and the animals and the plants and finally man. And he did it simply by saying, let there. Your words are powerful. I like Moses. He was leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. They come to the Red Sea. The army is behind the Egyptian army is behind them. And what does Moses do? He just holds up his staff. He doesn't shout, water separate, low tide, high tide. He just stands there with his staff out. And then when they get to the other side on dry land and the army is in the middle of the ocean, he just raises his staff and the Lord acts. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is Lazarus. Lazarus is dead for 4 days. And he stands there, and all he says is, Lazarus, come on out. Come on out. He doesn't shout. He doesn't cause an earthquake. He gets the men to move the stone, and they come out. We need to read and listen to our daily Bible. This way, when you think of an illustration, the day after you're ready, you'll be able to find it. We have a secret service in our country, and they guard the president. I learned of another task that they have. The secret service is responsible for weeding out all counterfeit money. I didn't know that. That's one of their main responsibilities, to catch and weed out artificial money, counterfeit money. And you know what they study and stare at all day long? Not counterfeit money. They stare at the real thing. So they're so familiar with what the real $20 and the real $50 and the real $100 bill looks like that when something phony comes up, they can spot it right away. So when you read the Bible, this is the truth. And you cannot be deceived because you know the truth. So when Satan puts something false in front of you, you won't be tricked by it. So if I give you one word of encouragement today, read your Bible, underline it, and follow Jesus' example. And speak with a powerful but still small voice. In closing, I want to do something completely different, contrary to the message. We're going to have them play another DVD. Our daughter, Debbie, lives in Nashville. And she's married to Don Dart. That might not mean much to you. But her father-in-law, Tracy Dart, wrote the song God of the Mountain. And it's recorded by Linda Randall. We're going to play it in a minute. But I ask you to pray for Tracy. He's very sick. He had a kidney transplant.
A man in the audience came up to him and said, I want to donate my kidney to you. And so he had the transplant, and it was amazing. His wife, the guy that gave the kidney didn't have anybody to take care of him during the transition. And so Tracy's wife took care of both of them, had to take care and get both of them over it. Well, that was 4 years ago, and he did fairly well, but he's had back surgery, heart surgery, and the kidney. So what happened, his kidney stopped functioning, the new kidney, and he's back on dialysis. But we were in Nashville, was it April?
May.
And we were at the hospital visiting Tracy, and he looked awful. I said, we're not even going to get home, and he will pass, you know, because he looks so bad. He's still kicking. But he's a quiet, quiet man. You would never know. He had a beautiful, beautiful singing voice all over the country. But he's a quiet man, and you have to really listen closely for him. But he needs prayer right now. He's in the hospital. He can't walk much anymore. There's reasons for that, too. He just didn't do his physical therapy. But he's to the point that he can't get out of bed by himself. He can't do anything by himself. But he has that still small voice. He's got a voice that you really have to listen for. So as we listen to the song, think about the words that he's saying. And he's still in the hospital. He's doing dialysis.
He wrote this song one night. He woke up in the middle of the night, and he jotted the song down and had it the next morning. And it's going to be introduced by Bill Gaither, and then Linda Randall is the one who's going to sing it, God of the Mountain. But just listen to this and be encouraged by it. That's it.
Songs is the fact that they are true. Things may not always be perfect in life, but the God of the mountain is a God of the valley. The God of the daytime is the God of the nighttime. Listen.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't fade, for you're never alone. Where your faith is really put to
Shall we pray? Precious Jesus, thank you that it was your intent and your plan to have each one of us here today to hear these testimonies. And I thank you that you're the God of the mountain. Lift us up. Help us rejoice. Help us appreciate this glorious day that you've created. Thank you that you've allowed us to come and worship you and to sing praises to you. Thank you for the anointing in this service. Send us out singing and praising and rejoicing. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless you.